minus 1887 is... Well, 131? Happy birthday, Ernest Holmes. He would have been 131 today. Ernest Holmes was the founder of Science of Mind, Religious Science. And so January 21st, 1887, that was a stellar day. I was thinking last week when we had our birthday Sunday, and or 2 weeks ago, and there wasn't anybody with a January birthday, so we could sing to him, actually. I'm sure he'd appreciate that. Well, welcome to the third chapter of The Science of Mind. This is what we do every January. We just review the basics of Science of Mind, which is kind of nice for people who've never heard of it or want to know a little bit more about us. It's also fun for those of us who have been around for, well, since God was a child, like myself. Because we get to remind ourselves what our teaching is about, and it's a beautiful thing. So we covered chapter 1, chapter 2, and now we're into chapter 3. This year's theme in Centers for Spiritual Living, of which we are a part, is 100 years of Science of Mind. I know we're some of the youngest kids on the block in terms of organized religion, and I'm not so sure we're so well organized anyway, which is one of the reasons we love to come, right? And so for the month of January, it's Living the Science of Mind is our basic theme. And today we are discussing Love Points the Way and Law Makes It Possible. So we're again looking at the two pillars of our philosophy, love and law. Ernest says, we are surrounded by an infinite possibility. It is goodness, life, law, and reason. In expressing itself through us, it becomes more fully conscious of its own being. So this is based on the chapter, What It Does. A brief review of the first two. The first week we learned that the infinite is the power back of creation. The power back of creation is God, the beginning of everything, the beginning of every creative idea, of everything that we see and can weigh and measure in the world, and that we have the power to co-create with this divine power. So accepting that divine presence, feeling the love, the unity, and then accepting our ability to be a co-creator with the divine and to bring positive, conscious, creative, wonderful expressions of life into this world is what we get to do to make the world a better place. So beginning with what's underneath everything, well, it's the substance of the divine. And we're part of it. That's a beautiful awareness that we're part of it. And so the second chapter here in this introductory part is the way it works. And what we found out was it works through you and me. Now, does it seem strange to say it when referring to God? I think Ernest had a very clear intention to remove the idea from our consciousness that God is a big guy up in the sky somewhere. Maybe with a book, maybe keeping track. I think there's been a little bit of confusion between God and Santa Claus. Sees you when you're sleeping. So to remove that idea of a gender at all, I mean, we also speak about Father, Mother, God, because it's all-inclusive, all-embracing, as we are. And so we realize that this divine presence, this infinite mind, needs instruments through which to work, which is why that song was just so beautiful, because we are needed in order for this divine life to flow through us, in order for us to use our creative intention to be compassionate, to be loving, to be wise, to be intelligent, to be selective, and to bring forth into our world what the intention of God is, and that is goodness, and it is life, and the ability to feel that sense of divine freedom, because we are free to make our choices. That is the wonderful thing about this teaching, that we're not in bondage. We are free to remember who we are. And once we do, and we align with that divine presence, there's no stopping us. We don't want to stop us. Because what we desire to do is to bring greater truth into our lives, our families, our workplaces, and the world itself. And so today, we are talking about love that points the way and law that makes it all possible. As I was sharing with the kids this morning, you know, we can't get more loved than opening up to the presence of God's love. I mean, I love you a lot. I'll have to admit, though, God loves you more. It's infinite. We do the best we can to love each other and our families and our neighbors and our workplaces, and we do the best possible expression of that lovingness when we first sit and fill up with that divine presence. We have a lot of meditators here. Meditation, prayer, spiritual mind treatment, affirmative prayer, all bring us into that holy presence. And it's from that place. It's like Brother Lawrence, who went around practicing the presence by washing the pots and pans. We usually like to sit quietly when we can. Not everybody has that half hour before we go off to our jobs or our activities. You can take a minute, you can take five, and then from that place of connectedness with that precious spirit within us, we go out into the world and share it with everybody. It's a good thing to be prayed up before we go out into our worlds. Ernest says the divine mind, he didn't mind being called Ernest, by the way. It's not disrespectful at all. Really, they're mine. He said, the divine mind is infinite. That's the mind of God. It contains all knowledge and wisdom. But before it can reveal its secrets, it must have an outlet. That's you. That's me. This outlet we shall be compelled to supply through our own receptive mentalities. Spirit is deeply personal. God is deeply personal. We forget. We have spiritual amnesia too much of the time. We forget that we're part and parcel of this divine loving presence, part of the infinite mind of God. And our minds, our finite minds, are some part of that infinite mind. Isn't that glorious? That means that all the wisdom of the universe is available to us when we align ourselves with it, when we remember who we are. So spirit is deeply personal, and the law of God is dependably impersonal. As we were sharing with the kids earlier, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, if what your level of education may be, where you came from, or anything else, yellow and blue is going to make purple, did you say? That's what I do. You woke up, huh? She loves purple, so. But you can't change the law. You know, Diane, it's the same. Yellow and blue are going to make green. And she knows that. And so it's something we can depend upon. When the farmer plants the seeds and he wants or she wants watermelons, she's not likely to plant cauliflower. It's just not as much fun to take a chilled cauliflower on a picnic, you know. Let's get what we want. Let's create a divine intention for what we desire in our lives. And with that loving presence, which wants to express through us, how about a new idea, a new idea? Let it come through us. We utilize the law that we can absolutely count on to bring it into being. If I am planting seeds of love and compassion, that is what's going to show up in my world. If I am desiring some great good for myself or for my loved ones or for the world, I'm going to focus on that in my affirmative prayer. Now, when you hear the word treatment, it's not something you do to your neck. Spiritual mind treatment that was put together in a very beautiful way by Ernest Holmes is affirmative prayer. It's not begging, I'll be good if. It's not bartering, I'll give this up if I can have that. It's accepting, it's opening up our hearts to the good that is already being given. The universe is always wishing to give good to us. It desires health and well-being, love and joy, abundance in every area of our lives, creative expression. You know, if we're not doing the work that makes our hearts sing, we're not honoring that divine presence of God that wants to express itself through us joyously, happily, creatively, successfully, and with a sense of satisfaction and freedom. So we have a spontaneous choice, just as the infinite mind of God does when it brings planets and sees, and let there be, and there is, and let there be, and God called it good. And it's, you know, God has never changed his mind about that. This universe is good. You and I are good. This life is good. And when we find ourselves in an experience that feels less than good, it's not God's intention. It's simply a misuse somehow of this creative, intelligent law of mind that we get to use. So we get to go back to our own hearts, back to that own divine presence that we know we're part of, and speak a different word in our consciousness. Create a new mental equivalent, a new spiritual prototype that we can live out by sharing it with the law, and the law knows how to bring it into existence. So we have the spontaneous choice, and then we have the automatic action. And there's intelligence in both areas, because the infinite mind of God works in two ways, consciously and subconsciously. And since we're a part of that infinite mind, ours works similarly. Consciously, I will choose a new idea that I'm ready to bring into my life and into the world to make it better. I accept it subconsciously, and since my conscious mind is part of God's conscious mind, and since my subconscious mind is part of the infinite subconscious mind, I plant the seed, and the law that is at work within the subjective area knows how to bring it about. There's intelligence in the choice. There's intelligence in the fulfillment of that choice. This is an infinitely intelligent universe. And you are divinely intelligent people. We sometimes forget that. And you know, Moses was very clear when he found out that the name of God is I Am. What follows I Am is a prayer. Let's make it an affirmative prayer, not I am stupid. I am the intelligent expression of the life of the divine. What follows the I am is something that is received in your own my own subconscious mind, and the law acts upon that and brings it about. I am so clumsy. Well, if I did that very much, I'd be dropping things all the time. And I do it enough already. So I'm not going to confirm that in my mind. I am a child of God, becoming a teen of God, hopefully ultimately becoming an adult of God. We are part and parcel of this divine love and infinite intelligence.
And isn't it good to remember that?
Jachin and Boaz, we talked about that last week. The two pillars of the Temple of Solomon, and I've decided that's Jachin and that's Boaz. And you come in those to come into the Temple of Solomon, where you're going to find the wisdom that is, guess what, already within you anyway. And what we do here is help to remind each other of that infinite wisdom that dwells within us all, and the divine love that dwells within us all, and is who we truly are. So Jachin and Boaz, love and law. In my church in Palo Alto, we had a very large space with two pillars, which, because I referred to them in the same way, and one day I came in and somebody had actually typed it out and written Jachin on one pillar and Boaz on the other. And one day I said, you know, Jachin and Boaz, like Joan Boaz, it isn't like that at all. But these are the two aspects of our teaching, the love and the law. The love of the divine, the spontaneous desire of the infinite and of each of us to express life, to bring wonderful things into our world. That's just, it's natural. And if we try to suppress that, we will be unhappy. And you know, there's a lot of depression in this world. It's too much. And what we know is that either we're going to feel depressed or we're going to express. And it has been said that you can't really, really feel sad and blue and sing at the same time. Because either you're going to be so depressed that nothing will come out of your mouth, or you're going to start lifting that and feel more like who you really are. Isn't that true, Jonathan? So when we allow things to press in on us, when we get too in a stew about something that's going on in the world, and there's always something, isn't there? When we get so engaged in that and give power to something that of itself has no power, it came to pass, right? It came to pass. It didn't come to stay. But when we do that, we're forgetting about this divine power that is right here and ours to use. We have the ability to rise up beyond that, to align our thought with God's thought, to open our hearts and become that clear channel, that beautiful instrument through which the love and the life of God express. Browning, beautiful poet, said, "All's love, yet all's law." This is understood by poets and philosophers and theologians and people like you and me. All's love, yet all's law. So we court the presence and direct the law. We come into that beautiful alignment open-heartedly, experiencing that divine love and compassion and feeling our unity with something that loves us, something that is for us, something that is supporting us, nurturing us, motivating us, saying, okay, be my instrument. As Francis, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying to self that we are born to eternal life. I want to be that instrument. Don't you want to be that instrument? Don't you know you are that instrument? And we're here remembering it. It's a celebration to remember it. So we court the presence. We feel that alignment with love. We open our hearts and our minds to be in alignment with that great something. And then we choose and we direct the law. Principle, that's how it works. Principle is limitless. And as we understand this, our freedom to use the creative intelligence expands. And we can co-create with this principle. But we want to approach it very simply. This is a simple teaching. We want to approach it simply and sanely and find what fits for us. just had our second new member orientation class yesterday. So we have some beautiful new members coming in next month, and we're pretty excited. I see most live all right here right now. It's great. And here, as we're learning, we find out that it's really not so complicated. It's quite simple, it's universal, and in many ways, it's something that we've always known all of our lives, how greatly loved we are, how beautifully the law works. And it's simple, and it's sane. And as I said to them, you know, take what makes sense to you. You know, we don't have secondary codes, which is, this is what you have to believe. We teach people how to think, not what to think. Isn't it great to have that freedom? Which is why we keep developing leaders in communities like this. Because we support your utilizing this creative process in a very loving and intelligent way. In that same center I told you about, have a wonderful party and celebration. She let me know earlier not to take it personally. Congratulations! In that second center in Palo Alto, there was a gentleman who came so regularly and was so involved, and then had to move for his job to the Philippines. And he would stay in touch from time to time, and one day sent a letter that said, I can't find a spiritual community here like we have in Palo Alto. I can't find it. Getting a little discouraged. I'm looking for that sweet, simple, sane philosophy. That's not to say that other people are not sane, but for him, he liked the sanity and the simplicity and the ease, and I like it too. I always have. So let's deal with creative intelligence intelligently. This creative principle expresses quite uniquely through each person. Through the baker, we get vegan cupcakes. You left them at home? Oh, cheesecake. I know where I'm going after. It expresses beautifully through the dancer, through the singer. It expresses magnificently through the teacher. And uniquely, this beautiful, creative, intelligent activity expresses through each of us as we are ready to have it expressed uniquely in our lives. Isn't that great? It's the same intelligence. It's the same creative process. And we get to use it in a way that works for our particular desired life. We can invite transformation. You know, we can transform chaos even into order. Here's an example. Can you see this? Do you love it? Chaos, and you just keep focusing upon what you wish to have come out of it instead of getting into the chaos, and ultimately the order emerges. Well, I love this. You probably each would like to take one home, wouldn't you? Well, there's a coffee machine. We can transform illness to wholeness, not because we of ourselves are doing anything, but because there's a presence and a power that's greater than we are within us, and we invite that loving presence and power to do the transformation. We can transform loneliness to belonging. We can transform poverty, prosperity, because we are the instruments through which God does the work. So it's everybody's birthright to be happy. It's everybody's birthright to be fulfilled and to be free. Do you love the word freedom? Freedom is very much at the heart of our teaching. And it feels wonderful to know that it's everybody's divine birthright. We learn how to embrace the presence that is always embracing us. We learn how to work with the law in order to change our lives. We learn not what to think, but how to think. Spiritual mind treatment is affirmative prayer.
where we open our hearts and we accept the good that's already been given. We accept it. We give thanks for it. We rejoice in it.
The mind must conceive before the creative energy can produce. So we create a beautiful new idea in mind. We create a mold for the power to express through it in order to bring it into the physical universe. It's a spiritual prototype. It's a creative mold, and it's a divine entity that is filled. We create the mold, and God fills it, and the law produces it. Play-Doh, clay, think of the things that we use. We use that with the kids one day to let them know how this works. It's beautiful. We determine the size and the shape of our mental equivalent of our spiritual prototype. And the container depends upon the consciousness. Faith, acceptance are very important parts of what we do. So you see, the soil doesn't have an option about the seed that's planted in it, just as we were sharing about the cauliflower and the watermelon. It simply accepts it and it nurtures it. You have faith already. Right now, you're using faith in your own way. For instance, does anybody have a fear that suddenly the chair is going to dissolve underneath you and you'll be on the floor? See, you just sat down. You have faith. You have faith. Well, you have faith in a lot of things. Let's develop that faith the way we develop a muscle. And we have plenty of it right here. We have practitioners who have plenty of it and can share it with you. I remember going into a hospital one time with a woman who was quite ill and becoming a little concerned about, was she ever going to get better? And she said, "I just don't have the faith, Dr. Maxine." And I said, "I have so much of it. You can share it with me. I'll give you some." And she liked that so much that she relaxed and got well. We can share it with each other. It just needs to be developed, that's all. And we need to say no to doubt. And we need to say no to the naysayers that say, "Oh, you're too old, or you're too young, or you're not educated enough, or you're overly educated. You can't do that." We had learned to say no to that, like we learned to say no to our own concerns and fears and doubts. You remember George Washington Carver? And you know that he developed so many uses from that little peanut. He grew not only peanuts, but also a soy and sweet potatoes. He was mostly known as the peanut man, but he was far more than that. And all the uses that came out of that one little peanut. And he said, oh, by the way, he grew up just being a nature boy. He just identified with and nurtured and felt nurtured by all of this plant life. And people would come to him in the neighborhood and say, "My fern is sick." He said, "Let me take it home." He'd make it well and bring it back to them. From the time he was a child, and he couldn't even read at that point. This is how the creative, intelligent, loving presence was working through him. And he said, when he was asked about how he developed all of those great ideas and uses from the peanut, this is the larger part of what he said. "Anything will give up the secrets if you love it enough. Not only have I found that when I talk to the little flower or to the little peanut, they will give up their secrets, but I have found that when I silently commune with people, they give up their secrets also if you love them enough." Well, he knew you can't open a flower with a hammer. So let's gaze deeply into life. Let's see the beauty. Let's see God within everyone and everything. And let's expect it to give abundantly of itself to us. Let's become generous receivers and circulators of this life and this love and this wisdom and this intelligent creativity. That's what we're here for. Will you say with me, "I delight in the warmth of the divine embrace. I delight in the warmth of the divine embrace. I'm grateful for the constancy of the perfect law. I'm grateful for the constancy of perfect law. And so, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson." Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you. and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community as together we create a world that works for all.